from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and the callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now, here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
Oh my God, we are back for another fantastic week of the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. My name is Alon.
And my name's Aura.
My name is Rich.
Can we hear you, Rich?
I don't know.
Can you hear me?
I can hear him.
Now we can. Say it again.
Are you getting enough oxygen, Rich?
See, one week he doesn't turn on his own microphone. The next week we don't get his own microphone turned on for him. But we're moving on. We're moving on today because we are going to talk about Rock Band.
You guys, I can tell that you're ecstatic already, and I'm ecstatic because Alon snagged me a copy of the game.
Sold out at Fry's, by the way.
And what is this thing? This is like what? Like, I don't know, like a cubic meter or something? Maybe half a cubic meter of mass.
It's not a cube, actually.
This is huge. This is this huge thing. So while you guys talk about it, I think I'm going to be opening up the thing, and so you'll hear random exclamations.
And we're also going to learn a little bit, because now, in my great effort to be a fantastic journalist, a member of the media, a journalist who doesn't write, I always...
That's okay. The journalists, they don't write either.
Well, I want to learn. And so on my way home from work, I decided, you know what? Even though I already bought 2 packages of Rock Band from Walmart at 9 a.m. this morning, and I have 2 reserved at GameStop on my way home, I'm going to stop off at Fry's Electronics and just see if they have some, just to know. Not to buy any. 4 is enough.
Due to your naturally inquisitive nature.
Yeah. And of course, they were sold out. And so I continued on. I got my 2 at GameStop. And when I got home, I realized, oh, because I knew which 2 were which, like the Walmart ones versus the GameStop ones. Walmart's, they have a quality assurance sticker on the bottom, right? Every one of them. Say, checked on whatever date. So Walmart's were the 22nd and 24th of September, and GameStop's were the 19th of October, which I would presume are separate production runs. Every day they probably do a new production run.
Sounds good to me.
Whether QA is done every day, I don't know. But so we got 1 on the 22nd, 1 on the 24th, and then 2 on the 19th of October. I took one of the GameStop ones, and I gave Aura one of the older ones, and I want to see if there's a difference in hardware.
Oh, yeah, that's why you want to look at it, huh?
Well, you can have one of the ones from the 19th if you want. I don't care. But I wanted to compare. And we're going to be able to compare the two. Now, I should say
live on the air.
I'm convinced that my guitar had a little bit of a defect, but it's covered as soon as you put the head on.
I think it's supposed to be like that.
I don't.
But
what is there? Is there like some kind of like
where 2 pieces
like
of plastic meet? I'm not convinced
something.
Mine were pushed together. They had, but I mean, once you put the head on, that's inside of the head of the guitar anyway. So yeah. It's irrelevant at this point. But anyway, we got to play. Like, what sucks is I had to work all day. Couldn't take the day off because I'm already doing jury duty and missing enough work as it is. So I had to go to work, get the game, waiting for me in the car, come home, and then we have to come do this stupid radio. Who listens to this radio show? Why do
I
could be playing Rock Band. So I come and do this idiotic radio show. And
yep.
No, I love the show. I do. But I'd rather be playing Rock Band right now.
Yeah, Rock Band's better.
And so I go home. Rich comes over real fast. We take about half an hour to unbox this thing. As Aura
will
see
together.
If he opens his box now. Really, it was quite a job.
Hold on. Let me cart the dolly in here. This thing's pretty big.
The reason it took so long to open is just, or you know, to put everything together is because they did such a good job packaging this. And I don't.
Oh. You might need a knife for that. Wow. Actually, there's a lot of things that are taped very well.
Hey.
Oh, you have.
I come prepared, my friend.
That's a key. That's not a knife.
Or oh, is it?
That's a knife.
Oh.
So nice.
It did bug me a bit that it's not the type of packaging you can put back together. Like, it's one-time packaging, but whatever.
So if you take that out, you're going to have to take it back to your house in your car in pieces.
Yeah.
Yeah, well. We'll see about that.
Oh, he does have the sign that says, hey,
yes.
Wait a minute, don't return to store.
Hey,
okay, apparently,
this stuff might break.
The primary language of this game is French.
Hey, mine came English.
It's on the other side.
All right, so moving on. Point is, the game is big and unwieldy, yet it is fantastic. And so Rich and I got the opportunity to play 2 whole songs before coming to the show.
Yeah.
Completely unprepared.
And it was fun.
For a show. But yeah, it was good times. We look forward to playing more, except I won't be able to play tomorrow because I leave to California. And then, well, I'm gone for whatever this holiday is that's coming up.
I think your Rock Band set might be sad not being played for 5 days.
It's going to be sad.
Six.
I'm gonna have
I
to
think
go
Rich
hide
has
it.
A follow-up question to that.
I'm going to have to hide it upstairs so that it doesn't get stolen.
This is a pretty hefty microphone we got here. This is better than the ones we have at the studio.
I think it might be.
They're pretty serious mics. However, they're USB, so you're not going to be plugging them in anywhere in the studio. So while Ara's opening that up, I'm just going to reiterate about how awesome it is. And you should all go buy it, because it's killer. And it seems like it might not even be broken hardware. Like, every time Harmonix released a guitar, it had problems.
Yep.
Like, one of my guitars was broken from the beginning, and it's the third one that I had, because I kept returning it for being broken. From Guitar Hero, the original.
I love this this lettered styling on all the boxes. it's like, you know, Rock Band wired guitar. It's like generic.
What's awesome is 1/10 of the box is for the guitar, and the rest of it is all for the drums.
You know what I'm really impressed with, actually? The drum set that comes with this thing, right?
It is awesome.
It's actually like, I mean, I haven't seen it yet. I'm just looking at this picture, right? But it's actually like on a pedestal, and it actually has an actual pedal, it looks like.
Yep.
Very much unlike, you know, Konami's game Drum Mania, which basically it had this foam pressure-sensitive pad.
I thought the real one had a plastic.
No. It was basically like a pad. It was kind of like a membrane button, essentially.
It was like a Dance Dance Revolution pad.
Yeah, but much smaller. And the thing just, like, broke right away, basically. So that, like, you know, after you played it for more than 2 hours, and every time you stepped on it, it would, like, either not trigger or, like, trigger twice in succession or whatever.
Not that you couldn't just build one in 10 minutes, but...
Well, you know, some people aren't as, you know, handy as you, Alon.
You're not supposed to have to build the controller for the game. That's not part of the setup.
The drums use actual metal tubes.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. Well, and I can't argue with metal, really.
They come with plastic seals around them so they don't get scuffed up in shipping. It's just ridiculous.
How many kickovers the drums can take. Like when you finish a song and you're just like, yeah, just kick the drum set over. I wonder if it won't break from doing that.
Why don't you try that and get back to us?
All right.
it's pretty awesome. And in other awesome news, apparently Mario was rated like the best game ever in the world
ever created.
I've always said that Mario 64 is the best game
ever.
Mario Galaxy, yeah.
Yeah, have you even
I've heard
played
that one
it?
Before.
It was the highest reviewed game ever.
Oh, joy.
Yep.
All right. So what are we going to talk about today? Well, we've got a cartoon that we're going to talk about. We don't want to talk about what it is just yet. I'm sure some other people know.
Very interesting cartoon.
Yeah, keep going with that.
It's more of a web comic
than
a cartoon.
So, got a cartoon to talk about. There was this whole thing about gamer score and how the points encourage buying a game. Have we decided not to talk about
that?
No,
we should definitely talk about that. And apparently now...
the game Avatar?
Yes, you can get 1,000 gamer score points in, like, what, 20 minutes?
Very quickly. it's like 2 minutes.
Okay, 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Ironically enough.
All right, so we got cartoons, we got bad games to talk about. There were a couple other things. All right, you had a whole list of stuff that you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, it's like buried under the humongoid box, though.
All right, well, I'm a little distracted right now.
But I guarantee that they're all absolutely thrilling topics.
Now, we also have to get rich to discuss Phantom Hourglass.
Yes.
So we've actually got like 2 minutes. Can you compress that, or do you want to wait?
I could try.
Do it.
Phantom Hourglass is a bad game, straight up. There's nothing good about it at all. And everybody I've told this to is in utter shock at my opinion of the game, because everybody I've talked to likes this game. It's like everybody's like, oh, Phantom Hourglass, it's so fun, the Zelda on the DS, and blah, 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 blah. And everything about it is terrible. The controls don't work with the stylus. You can't use the D-pad. The game is just unimaginative. The entire world feels dead, unlike most Zelda games, like where people are running around and doing stuff. Like, nothing happens in this game, and it's supposed to be this sequel to Wind Waker. And so my thought of this game would be, okay, Wind Waker but on the DS. But it's not Wind Waker on the DS. It's nothing like Wind Waker at all, and
wow,
it makes me very sad and
dude
angry.
I love these frets, man.
The guitar is a little bit different. We forgot to talk about how the guitar strum bar is very different.
It is different.
All right. It's actually better.
Yes.
It's looser. Anyway, we'll be back after the break to talk more about everything.
Wow. Welcome back, everybody. This is Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name is Ara.
And my name is Alon, hoping Rich doesn't stay so close to the microphone this segment.
I'll try not to.
And that's Rich, and he, of course, will help me to remind everyone that they should go visit uat.edu, the website for the University of Advancing Technology.
Where you can learn to be a rock star.
Ara's only managed to get the guitar free this far.
This is all I need right here.
By the way, we determined that my guitar was slightly defective in the head. And
dude, these buttons are like kind of sticky, dude.
I'm talking about the little piece of plastic before you put the actual Stratocaster head onto the guitar. But it was not a big deal.
You won't notice anymore.
Buttons?
I like the buttons.
You get used to them. The guitar is way better after a while. Although my left hand didn't feel as comfortable on it.
Yeah. After a while, after about 4 seconds, it's better.
Fine. All right, listen, we got to get to the real news. What we did not discuss for the last, 3 months is that we have been working on, along with other members of the All Games Network, working on getting our logo up on Xbox Live.
Working day and night laboriously.
This has been for a long time. We had to keep it quiet. There were all these non-disclosure agreements flying around.
I never signed one.
That was a sound effect of us working day and night, by the way.
Yeah. Anyway, so the Chatterbox logo is now available for free download on Xbox Live. If you've been seeing all the ads they put up about Xbox Live is 5, you remember we talked about that last week too. Xbox Live is 5, and there's this little thing. It has all this different stuff you can download, different themes and pictures and whatever. One of them is like community pictures or something. I forget how they worded it, but it's pretty easy to find.
Yeah, community pack number 2 or 3.
I think number 2. And when you go on there, it says all the different radio shows
or
podcasts, and one of them says Chatterbox Video Game Radio. And I'm all ecstatic. It's on there.
Speaking of ecstatic.
Yes.
Can I tell you how jazzed I am about this this little headphone port here?
Are you upset that the guitar won't work on any other guitar games?
No, I'm not really upset. I don't care about
that. It doesn't
even
look like it'll be easy to take apart so I can modify it to work with other games. No, the screw holes. Okay.
It's a lot thinner than the previous one.
Yeah, it is.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Look at that profile.
Which makes it a lot more solid.
Look at that sexy profile.
There. Yep.
I'm very excited to go play this game in a week when I'm finally back in town and can do it.
Do I look like the guy from Midnight Oil now?
If that's what you want to look like, yes.
All right, guys, let's not make the show 44 minutes of non-content.
Well, it's Rock Band.
We are ready.
Rock Band is content.
But I do want to mention, everybody, Chatterbox Gamer Pick. It would be awesome if you applied it to your gamer tag or to your gamer card or whatever.
It will make you instantly cooler.
Well, that's obviously true. Definitely. But I certainly have added. Rich does. And Ara, one of these days, will get it on his. In addition, if anybody's been trying to visit the forums, I've been trying to clean them up, and I kicked out all the losers. And if you've tried to add yourself as a member in the last week,
people go to
just
the
denied
forums.
You.
It's because you're a loser.
You be quiet. The forums became crap a long time ago when it became spam-alicious. I'm trying to clean them up. If anyone has the ability to add CAPTCHA codes to PHPBB forums, you just let me know and I'll add them, and then maybe it won't suck. But for now, no new members allowed. All right, so moving on to real stuff. This comic that we have. You found it, and actually Rich was telling me about it in the car as well.
Well, I thought this was really interesting, right, because I found the news story first, and the story is that there was some guy made this comic about Assassin's Creed, about Jade Raymond, who's the producer of Assassin's Creed.
And looks like a 27-year-old pop idol.
And she's attractive. There's no question about that. And the funny thing is that, you know, because I guess there's not a lot of attractive women in the industry or something, although I disagree with that also. But I guess since they're not, like, out in the forefront or whatever, right?
They certainly aren't 27-year-old models.
Anytime somebody sees one, right, or anytime there's someone who's as much in the limelight as Jade Raymond is,
But it's not just limelight. Like, I'd never heard of her ever, and then all of a sudden she's the producer of this big game.
Well, right. But I mean,
is there any explanation for that?
Well, I mean, that's how stuff happens.
Well, you don't really hear about producers of games typically.
Listen, if there's a hot chick in the industry, I hear about it, whether she's a gaffer or a producer. I don't care.
I'm sorry, Alon.
Anyway, getting on.
I'm looking up in Wikipedia.
Business.
I hope there's naked pics.
So here's the thing, right? It's like, okay, this comic is a pretty lewd comic.
Hilarious.
Before we get to that,
okay.
So the some kind of law firm or something, right, sends this letter to a guy who actually didn't make the comic, but just posted a link to the comic. So now there's this, all of this internet controversy about, like, this mysterious comic that apparently, like, all of the blogs and all of the stuff on everyone online is afraid to post links to it, even though, really, I mean, if you search on Google for Jade Raymond lawsuit comic, click on the ninth link that shows up on Google, and you'll get there.
Yes.
And you can see it.
Her bio page on the Electric Playground makes her not look like a model. I might have to take some of that back.
So here's the interesting thing, right? It's like, a lot of people are complaining that this comic is, you know, really, really, I don't know, it's tasteless, and it's offensive.
It looks like she's tasting something.
And it's lewd. It certainly does. And the thing that I found really interesting about it is that, really, I mean, what this comic is a statement about...
It's protected satire, damn it.
Well, it is satire, and I think actually it's a legitimate satire, because it is actually depicting how a lot of fanboys in this industry, i.e., like, you know, marginally or recently post-pubescent males view marquee names like Jade Raymond.
I'm with you there.
Which is, well,
there's a reason for the comic. It actually makes a valid statement. And although it has a bunch of men or boys masturbating in the presence of the girl to the point that she needs fewer nutrients at the end of the comic...
And maybe
I was gonna let you do the description, since I'd probably run into some landmines.
We have to be very careful on the radio when we discuss bodily fluids, because we're not supposed to discuss them. So I will not discuss them, except to say that we can't discuss them. However, this comic does make use of some of them, or at least one of them, and Jade Raymond enjoys herself in this comic.
Now,
and I have to leave it at that. I can't really get more descriptive.
Here's another point I want to make about this, is that there's so many people that would have never seen this comic, even heard about it, cared about it, thought about it, whatever.
If they hadn't sicked the lawyers.
Exactly. If it weren't for the fact that it was made a big deal of. And this type of phenomenon we see over and over again. We see it with violence in games. We see it in, like, other types of things, like, I don't know, like, you know, don't do drugs type of campaigns. Where, like, really what they end up doing is the exact opposite effect that they're, at least on the surface, you know, seem to go for, right? So it's like, okay, this comic, I mean, why is this in the limelight, right? Like, why is this...
I wonder if they had to do it just to basically show that they're trying to protect the person that works for
them. Here's my question. Is this a PR ploy to drum up a whole bunch of talking and a whole bunch of controversy?
I bet Jade probably is happy that they're trying to defend her, but they are probably thinking, if anything, it'll help get attention for the game. I don't know. I mean, I hadn't really thought about that, but it's certainly a legitimate question.
The other thing interesting about this is that, you know, they kind of, you know, in this comic, one of the things that I can see people getting offended about is the fact that, like, okay, well, you know, there's a certain depiction of the fanboys in the comic, there's a certain depiction of Jade Raymond, and they depict Jade Raymond as... you know, basically like this sexpot or whatever, who's more than happy to please all the fans, right?
Which essentially describes her role.
Which, well, here's the funny thing, right? Now, every time that Jade Raymond appears in the media, right? I mean, she's very pretty, she looks gorgeous, all of that stuff, right? But it's never been overt, right? In other words, like any kind of sexual aspect of her image has been, you know, implied or not mentioned, right? So, now, the way that this comic depicts it, it's like, depicts it in a very explicit way, right? So, the question is, you know, is Ubisoft, or is Jade Raymond even herself, are they deliberately leveraging her sex appeal?
I can't imagine why they would bring her out at E3 to say something for, like, 1 minute.
Well, she's the producer of the game. So, I mean, a lot of times, having the producer of a game talk about said game... is good.
Right. I mean, she's not like just a PR person. She's not like a booth babe who just goes up and like, ha ha, here's the
game.
Bad
at her job.
So, according to Wikipedia, she actually has a computer science degree in programming stuff, which means I have to give her a little bit of respect.
But, I mean, it's not
like... Didn't plan on doing.
Well, it is her job to be the producer, right? So, I mean, a lot of producers, maybe not a lot, but some producers who seem to be pretty good at PR, tend to often, you know, showcase their own games and take more of a PR type role. So it's, I mean, what she's doing, right, is perfectly legitimate, right? The interesting part is that there's like these undertones, especially on the part of the perception of the fan base.
Yeah. Well, I can certainly understand that why they would put her up front. I mean, she also apparently co-hosted or co-hosts something on G4, The Electric Playground, which, you know, along with Julie Stoffer, who also helped us host the show for a while.
That's, you know, that sounds like some...
Point is, she has public speaking experience.
Certainly.
That's my point. Anyway, we got to go to break. We'll be back after this.
Hey, it's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's number one. Woohoo!
Hello, everybody. Once again, my name is Alon.
My name is Ara.
And my name is Rich.
And this is the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. Of course, you can join us live during the show on our chat room at chatterboxgameshow.com. If you want, you can also call in at 866-536-1100. That, of course, is only if you're listening live. If basically, if you're not listening on the radio stream or the internet stream or on the actual radio. Yeah, well, you'll call and you'll get someone else doing a show at the radio station.
Yeah, maybe some pet psychic or something.
That would be. They do like getting phone calls.
Yeah,
but we have some nice shows with the psychics and the politicians and the Dr. Laura.
Anyway, very exciting.
So we want to talk about some GamerScore. We want to talk about musical instruments. All right, you come in sometimes with topics that we haven't discussed together. So I'm not sure where you want to go with this music instrument.
It's always a mystery, isn't it?
The musical instrument versus fake musical instrument thing. So I'm kind of curious. What are we going to get into here?
I've always found it very interesting to watch people who are musicians try to play music games.
Did you watch the videos in Guitar Hero 3 about basically Slash and Tom Morello and... who else? Bret Hart talking about how they can't play Guitar Hero for crap.
And if I really was conscientious, I would, but I completely didn't. And so I'm going to make a bunch of stuff up.
Let me sum it up before you move on. Essentially, we're all good at Guitar Hero. None of us are real guitar players, although I've played guitar a bit. All three of them basically talk about how they weren't any good with Guitar Hero and kids kicked their ass. But, you know, of course, if they break out a real guitar, they'll wipe the floor with the little kids.
Yes. And isn't that fascinating, right? Because... intuitively, you would think that, okay, musician, music game, that at least that they would have some leg up on, you know, just an average player, right?
I would think so, simply because they have a sense of rhythm.
Exactly, right? But no, it turns out that actually they don't have any leg up. In fact, they have even a worse handicap than somebody who doesn't play music.
Are we talking about, like, play guitar to Guitar Hero or just music in general?
Well, I'm talking about, like, I mean, right now... we have available, you know, in the video game repertoire, right? We have guitar games, we have drum games, we have dance games. Well
maracas.
Yeah, there's no dancing. Let's forego the dancing and the maracas for now. And we have keyboards.
I also have a tambourine game.
And then
this is true.
The DJ mix.
The tambourine game was never released in the U.S., but I have it.
This is all very.
I think I've played it once.
But let's forego the percussions.
Did you know Samba de Amigos coming out for the Wii?
That would be really interesting.
It is. It's official. It's coming out.
Are they using maracas or just a Wii remote?
Because
I want
the
maracas,
man. Well, maybe you can get little plastic things to put around your Wiimote.
Yeah.
All right. I love Samba de Amigo, but let's go back to the topic.
So they have a flute hero?
And there's keyboard. There's a keyboard game too, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I have a real passion for a lot of these music games. And so, you know, I go around and, you know, I show it to my friends and I have my friends play it. And, you know, a lot of people that I know and a lot of my friends are actual real musicians. And the really interesting thing I found out is that, you know, the people who are musicians who don't play games, right, they are really, really bad, much worse than you'd ever expect at these games. Now, people who are musicians and play games, they're actually... seem to be a lot better at it. And so really, I think what it comes down to is that even though you'd think that there'd be some crossover between, you know, musicianship or, you know, instrument skill and the video game skill, it really all comes down to the video game skill. And what I found is that the thing that gets a lot of musicians hung up on this is that it's the interface. I'm not just talking about, like, you know, the funky, you know, buttons instead of, you know, strings on the guitar, right? But I'm also talking about the interface on the screen. And I've noticed that it takes, like, I don't know, maybe about 20, 30 minutes for somebody to acclimate themselves to the interface of the entire game. The majority, the most important part being, you know, the actual screen that they're watching, for them to understand the relationship of the notes that are coming down and what they have to do to actually hit them, right? Because music, you know, playing music is not the exact same thing as playing the game, right? And it's actually a lot more different than you think. And I really noticed this when, you know, there's a game that I used to play a lot called Keyboard Mania. And this is totally, I've mentioned this before in the show a couple times, I think, totally the most hardcore music game ever made, because you have an actual 2-octave, 48 keys, I'm sorry, 24 keys keyboard in front of you, right?
Yeah.
So
it's a tough game to be good at.
So I played this game so much, and, you know, I'm a big geek, so this game actually, like, inspired me to start learning, you know, the keyboard and writing music and all that stuff, right? And the thing I noticed is that a lot of the songs that I could play perfectly in the game, if I just walked up to a keyboard, I couldn't remember. I don't even remember where to start. I couldn't even reproduce, like, the first 5 notes of the thing for you. Even though, like, once I see the cues in the actual game starting up, you know, I mean, I'm a freaking virtuoso, right?
Well, I was, when you were talking about this, I think the question become to try and figure out why someone who plays guitar doesn't play Guitar Hero very well, or, you know, something along that those lines. You got to wonder, what exactly is the cause of the bottleneck? Is it the human interface? Like, is the guitar not real enough? Do
no,
they have a hard
I
time
think
understanding?
It's the interface with the screen, because when
it's the processing of the input.
Right. Well, here's the other thing, is that what I noticed is, you know, when you play a game like Keyboard Mania, to play the really, really difficult passages, it's so fast and it's so complex that you basically have no hope of actually learning and mastering it, just playing the game. You have to kind of, like, you know, play it in a practice mode and slow it down and actually memorize the sequence with your fingers.
Which
and
is almost more like being a real musician.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And those parts of the songs I could play independently just by walking up to a keyboard and playing them, right? It's the parts that were, ironically enough, simpler that I needed to have the graphical cues come up for me to actually be able to play it. So I think that it's the interface part, because, you know, when you're playing music, right, there's no cue. And so when you learn it with the cue, it's almost like you're knowledge of it is dependent on having that cue there.
That's that's something I hadn't really considered before.
That makes sense.
But see, I've never been put in this position. I mean, I played guitar when I was in 8th grade. You know, we didn't have Guitar Hero or even fancy PlayStations and video games. I mean, I had Street Fighter on the Super Nintendo. That's about it. But I definitely do think that it's the input processing that's the problem. But I mean, do you think that any of the skills that I might learn could then apply to a real instrument?
No, absolutely not.
No.
I've heard this question posed often, which is why I bring it up.
No.
No effing way.
So I think you would have some argument against that.
Well, I mean, drums, maybe, like on Rock Band or whatever.
By the way,
the drums translate a lot better, because you actually have drumsticks and are hitting 4 circular things and pressing a pedal.
But I mean, remember, there's a lot more to it than just, like, playing. Maybe I wouldn't be able to play the music with the guitar, but the muscle memory of the fingers,
right,
just being able to move.
But my point is that your muscle memory is being learned in conjunction with the graphical cues.
Yeah.
And so in that way, it's actually dependent on them. You know, it's basically like you're learning a dance, right? And then if you want to do it without the cues, it's like, well, okay, now just do, you know, half the dance, but, like, you know, not the first half or the second half, but, you know, skip every other step or something like that, right?
I certainly don't think there's a lot of stuff that could convert, but I think perhaps the fact that you're using your fingers in ways that you're not used to.
It might, I don't know, because even Guitar Hero and stuff, it's 5 buttons that you're pressing, not like 5 strings across
there's 2
many
sets
frets.
Of 5 buttons on the Rock Band guitar.
I mean,
mister.
Playing a guitar is a lot different, but, and part of it too, like you said, is the way you receive the notes. I mean, the way they come down on the screen on Guitar Hero is significantly different than, you know, reading chords on guitar or like actual music on most instruments.
Yeah, I would actually be really interested.
It's a lot different way to
hear. Sorry, Rich, I just wanted to get this in before we go again. I would be really interested to hear, you know, people who are musicians who've tried to play these games, or people who play the games and are musicians and are really awesome at both or whatever. So you can send us an email or call us at 866-536-1100.
I actually have a coworker who's that way. And what I've noticed several times, actually, is people who play real instruments, they never really have medium feelings about it. They're like, no, that's really retarded.
Yeah.
Go play a real guitar. And then they end up playing it and loving it. Like this one guy I was talking about I work with, he made fun of Guitar Hero, and then I came across him, you know, a couple months later, hadn't talked to him in a while, and he's like, oh, by the way, I totally love Guitar Hero now.
Tables have turned.
Yeah. So it did turn, and I know another guitar player who very much likes it as well, so maybe it's just because it's an awesome game that everybody loves. We'll be back after this.
You're listening to Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
Welcome back, everybody, to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name's Ara.
I'm Alon.
And my name is Rich.
And one thing I forgot to mention. After I mentioned UAT and the University of Advanced Technology, and that you should go there, like Rich, didn't you say this week that you actually, or this weekend, that you were going to go do homework? I'd never heard you even mention homework this whole semester.
I don't know. I might have said something.
Did you actually do any?
I had stuff to do.
All right.
Did you mention that you had four six-figure job offers because you're going to UAT?
No, I didn't have
probably because
those
he hasn't
offers.
Yet. So one thing I forgot to mention is as soon as we popped in the game, this pissed me off. As soon as we popped in Rock Band, oh, there's an update. And like, I understand this happens nowadays, but I'm sick of it. I don't think an update should be available for a game the day it comes out, unless maybe that update had something to do with like setting the groundwork for downloadable content. Like, I have no idea what the update does, and I should know more about it before complaining about it. But I really don't think out of the box there's any reason to have an update for a game, and it's becoming all too common these days. That whole thing with Halo 3 and how my friend apparently couldn't even play it without downloading an update was idiotic. But
well, I mean, it's pretty transparent, right? I mean, you just put in update, oh, okay.
Well, yeah, but what if you're not on the internet?
Well, then
like,
you're screwed.
Games these days will come with an update on the disc, maybe. Like, if it's a system update, it'll come on the disc. But anyway, I don't know why there needs to be updates day one. It's just... It's
well,
more proof that they're not doing their job to begin with.
I'll tell you why, but then we'll launch into an hour-long discussion on the fact that game developers don't have enough time to make their games.
Oh, really?
Well, I think updates are always a good thing, but Alon seems to disagree with it.
You know why it's a bad thing? We all talked about this before updates became possible.
Yeah.
And now we've just accepted that they're going to happen. We said,
yeah,
this is going to make it turn into a PC game where you get buggy games to begin with, and you have to work hard and like wait basically for the game that you paid for, like Team Fortress 2.
It's really
for a game, can't play it.
It's really the precedent of, you know, do you expect to get something that works right out of the box or not?
Yeah, I think it's a pretty fair expectation that you would get something that works when you buy it.
I'd say
well, obviously games work when you buy it most of the time, and there'll still be updates for it. I mean, even after you buy a game like BioShock, they just updated it last week or something, I guess. But
can't you recognize
that
allowing the infrastructure for updates has increased the acceptance of faulty games?
Yeah,
like, meaning faulty games hitting retail.
But I mean, would you rather just wait longer for the game and have the possibility of the game getting canned?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
You'd rather just not have the game come out sometimes?
If the game's
now,
going to be
well,
updated,
I'm just saying,
if it can
like,
be updated online,
if there's
and it can
the
be updated
option
on the
of,
disc.
Hey, we can do this and get the game out and focus on fixing these little things later, or like, okay, well, we're going to have to spend this much time before the game's done.
You know
to
why?
Sell
because
it.
Then you can never guarantee that you'll actually get the update.
Well, I don't know, man. It's just, I think updates are a good thing. So.
He's been brainwashed.
I don't mind updates and things that are being added. What I do mind are game corrections being added.
Right, but it's really, I mean, it's the whole PR spin thing, right? I mean, you look at it as something that you're getting extra, or you look at it as something that you should have gotten in the first place, but
well,
you
yeah,
didn't
the game,
want,
the
and
game
now
not,
both.
The game not freezing or, you know, having a certain play mode or whatever should have had to begin with.
I agree.
I'm not saying that huge glitches are acceptable, but at least they have the ability.
You're saying I'd rather buy a game that doesn't work and gets updated later.
I'm saying I'd rather buy a game and have the possibility of it being updated than buying a game and having no option at all of it ever being updated.
I see a future in marketing for Rich.
I like the possibility of it being updated. I just don't like how it allows for a natural abuse of the system.
Well, then you can pick and choose what games you play. Like, you don't have to go buy Assassin's Creed and have a glitchy game.
Well, I'm not going to buy it because it's made by Ubisoft and their games are also glitchy and unupdated.
There you go.
Yeah. Forget that.
You don't have to buy it.
All right. So listen, before we go, we've been introduced to these Castlevania games on the PSP. All right. You actually got a hold of this and spent time playing it, I mean. Like, I don't know if I even know where my PSP is.
Yeah. All right. So
play the PSP?
Listen, I've got one in my house somewhere.
Somewhere.
Okay, that's neither
here
nor there.
Well, Ara has one, apparently.
I just want to tell everybody that one of the greatest games that has ever been made, which never came out here until today, although in a slightly bastardized form.
He's said this before.
Castlevania, right? It was also actually called the original release, Dracula X Rondo of Blood, which came out on the PC Engine way back in like 1993. One of the coolest action games ever for a myriad of reasons that I don't even have time to get into this show.
You know, I've seen this game, and it looks the same as other Castlevanias I've seen, so I'm not sure why people think it's the best one ever.
Right. I'll get into it a little bit, right? It's the structure of it is basically like a straight-up action game, but, you know, one of the reasons why it's so cool is that, you know, remember the old-school straight-up action games? What happens when you fall into a hole?
You die.
You die. But in Dracula X, when you fall into a hole, you don't die. You go to a whole new part of the castle. And it's like this...
Sweet!
It is sweet. It was totally cool. There's so few games that do that sort of thing, right? So it's like when you make a mistake, instead of... It's just... Now, 10% of the time, there are a couple places where you do actually die, right? But the majority of the game, they aren't like bottomless pits. So when you fall down somewhere, you just end up going somewhere else. And so all the stages have like this kind of like branching structure that's really, really interesting. That's one of the reasons why it's so cool. Another reason why is that, you know, there's like... The game is very, very secret heavy, right? There's so many secrets in it for you to discover. And this is part of video games that has kind of been lost in a lot of modern games.
Yeah,
right?
Because it was made 15 years ago that it can afford to be that way.
Well, the other thing, too, is that there's just this fantastic feeling that you get when you're playing a game when you feel like you're not supposed to be somewhere. You know, you feel like you've really done something special. You've really discovered something. And a lot of modern games have just been designed in such a way so that, like, it's just... It's so... I mean, I don't know what the word for it is, but it's just... It's so...
Contrived?
Contrived, maybe, yes. But it's like... everywhere you go, you just feel like it's been planned and scripted and, you know, you're just, like, watching another part of what you're supposed to see, right? So you don't get this feeling of actually, like, doing something special so often.
Yeah. Mario Galaxy has a bunch of spots that are like that, but it's still... I mean, it's not the 10% of the people who are going to get there. It's probably more like 50.
So this is one of the reasons why this game is so cool. Now, interestingly enough, now this is a remake of the game, which means that, you know, the graphics are totally new. They're all in 3D, even though the mechanics are in 2D. You know, the enemies are the same, and the placement of them is the same. But the real interesting thing is that all of the details of the mechanics in terms of, like, you know, well, the timing of your moves and, like, how high you jump now and how high the enemies jump and how fast they move, all of that's been changed. In my opinion, for the worse, although it's not really terribly much worse. It's a little worse. But thankfully...
I thought you were going to go on to this to say they've faithfully recreated the original.
No, it's actually really interesting because it's not faithful in some respects at all, whereas in other respects, it's totally faithful. So it's really interesting because you're essentially getting a totally different game, even though it looks the same in a lot of ways.
Except that the look is what changed most drastically.
The look and the precise details of the mechanics, which, you know...
Except you said the looks.
Not everyone.
Looks the same.
Not everyone. Well, looks in terms of, like, the representations of things, right? Like, there's a Minotaur in this game. There's a Minotaur in the other one. They look different, but they're still the Minotaur.
Okay.
So, it's worth checking out. You guys
I've heard time and time again that Dracula X was awesome. I just never understood why it was so different. And honestly, I've never even played Castlevania 4 enough, but that definitely did some cool stuff.
That was also a fantastic game. Absolutely.
Anyway, clearly we are at the end of the program, so we're going to go spend time playing Rock Band, basically, and not getting any sleep. If anyone wants to send us an email to talk about next week, feel free. Just go to chatterboxgameshow.com and click on the old email links. We will talk to you then.
Good night, guys.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.